Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and coming up in this hour, two Christmas stories. Later on, the Radio City Playhouse, but right now, Vincent Price stars as Simon Templar or Crime Fighter the Saint. This episode, called Christmas Jewels or Santa Claus is No Saint, heard on December 24th, 1950 on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Come in.
Hi, Mr. Temple.
Oh, hello, Louie.
Where are you?
I'm in my room. I'll be ready in a minute.
Hey, wait till you see my cab. I gave it a bath for Christmas.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to rush you, but if you don't hurry, Christmas Eve is going to be already Christmas morning, and what'll all them tots think?
Oh, them tots will be singularly fortunate. However, all I have to do now is get my whiskers on. There. How do I look?
Mr. Templar, if I didn't know you was Mr. Templar,
yes.
I wouldn't know who you were.
Louis, don't I look like Santa Claus?
This may come as a surprise to you, Mr. Templar. Santa Claus is fat.
Oh.
You're not fat.
Oh. Well, hand me that cushion from the couch, huh?
Okay. Here.
Ah, thank you. Now then. How's that?
Now say ho, ho, ho.
What for?
Santa Claus is always say ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I see. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, anyway, you look like Santa Claus. Hey, Mr. Temple, whose idea was this?
Mrs. Winterbottom's.
Oh, the dame who annoys tots on Christmas Eve.
Mrs. Huh? Winterbottom is a very well-known philanthropist, and every Christmas Eve she collects hundreds of small children and feeds them.
Yeah. Who feeds them the rest of the year?
Don't be bitter, Louis.
Sorry.
At least I ought to give the little tots a laugh.
Yeah. And I suppose there is something to be said for Mrs. Winterbottom.
Don't say it now.
Don't worry.
There's something to be said for Santa Claus, too. He does go around filling stockings.
Yeah, I know a blonde. Shouldn't say that either, huh?
No. Someone at the door. Louis, would you mind?
No. It's probably one of them tots. Correction, it's a tot 20 years later.
Get in.
I'm already in.
Back up.
I'm backing up.
Thanks. Now reach, gents.
You know, that gun in her hand looks loaded.
Now that you mention it.
Reach.
For what?
The chandelier.
I can't.
Why not?
No chandelier.
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
If you're going to shoot me, I insist on knowing your name.
Just call me Sally.
Sally. And your last name?
Never mind that. How would you like to get plugged in the...
Breadbasket?
Where?
Oh, let's pass lightly over that. I wouldn't like to get plugged anywhere.
And shut up.
All right.
Where is it?
Right down the hall.
Are you trying to be smart?
Not especially.
So it's going to be like that, huh?
Like what?
Now you listen to me, Fats Boylan.
Huh?
You shut up, too.
I didn't say anything.
Well, shut up anyway.
I'm shutting up.
What was I saying?
You just finished calling me Fats Boylan.
That's right.
That's wrong. I'm not Fats Boylan.
Huh.
Well, it helps keep the conversation
Look,
going.
Look, Fats, are you going to stop stalling and hand over the stuff, or will I have to shoot?
Since I am not Fats Boylan, and since I have no stuff to hand over, I'm afraid you'll have to shoot.
Mr. Templar, that could be fatal.
You keep quiet, punk.
Who's a punk?
You're a punk.
Mr. Templar, am I a punk?
Well, Sally is just a little confused this evening,
confused
Louis.
Confused or not, she shouldn't call me a...
Oh, shut up. Oh.
You know, you don't have to start bawling.
I am not... Bawling.
You were just about to shoot me.
Well, I know, but then you'd bleed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't stand the sight of blood.
Why don't you strangle him?
Louis, don't be unkind. It seems to be the doorbell again.
No, wait.
Oh, it's very impolite to keep people waiting.
But I must have been followed here.
Sally, look, stop illustrating a point with that gun. It might go off.
I don't care.
But then I'd bleed.
But where can I go? I've got to hide.
Well, try the kitchen.
All right.
Oh, come on in. It's open house tonight.
Well, well, my old pal, Fats.
I am not.
Boylan.
Although I'm beginning to waver. Perhaps I am. Simon, the split personality. Who are you?
Well, Joe Hudson. You remember your old pal, Hudson.
Hudson. Well, I must admit you look like a hornet, but your lines aren't as nice. Look, if I'm your old pal, why don't I know you?
Oh, that's easy. We never met personally.
Well, how else can you meet? Ignore that. But if we haven't met personally or otherwise, how can I be your pal?
Oh, I was just being friendly. Besides, you got something for me.
I have?
Great little kidder, ain't you, Fats? Ain't he, pal?
Now I feel better. I'm a pal, too.
Look, I wish I deserved your delighted choice.
Look, but just leave me have the stuff, and then I'll get...
Stuff again. What stuff?
Am I going to have trouble with you?
The door behind you is open. Why don't you use it, huh? In that way, nobody will have any trouble.
I'll use it. I'll use it after.
After what?
Such like that, huh? Ever see one of these before?
I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you, but the answer is yes, I have.
Good, good. Then you know how it works. It shoots bullets at guys. Guys who get bullet shot at them have a habit of dying.
Really? Well, then perhaps you'd better not shoot that gun at me.
I won't. So gimme.
So I ain't got. Well, that is, I...
That is, you ain't got.
Thanks, Louis.
Basic, I ain't a patient man. Hand the stuff over, or
I don't have any stuff.
Or you get shot.
I'd bleed.
Who cares?
I do. I hoped you might. However...
This could be a stall. This could be trouble, so you...
You can't shoot him.
Why not?
It's against the law. I read it in the papers. It's against the law.
Yeah, yeah, I believe you.
Oh, well, so that's okay.
Yeah, but I like doing things against the law.
Oh, well, you could go to jail.
I already been there.
Well, for shooting somebody, that they'll hang you or something.
If somebody told them.
Well, I would.
You would, huh?
I would.
So maybe I'd better shoot you first.
Well, I wouldn't want to deprive Mr. Templer of the privilege.
Well, Fats, it's your last chance.
Oh, not that phrase. Also, I still don't know...
So it looks like I'm going to break a law.
Hey, who did that?
You did, you dope.
I did not. This here is a plan. But you won't get away with it.
Goodbye, Mr. Hudson.
Mr. Templer, who made with the artillery?
It must have been Sally. She's in the kitchen.
She can stay there.
She saved our lives, Louis.
Yeah, but maybe by now she's found out she likes to shoot guns.
Well, let's hope not.
Hello.
It was nice of you to frighten Mr. Hudson off.
I did?
You did.
I didn't hit anybody?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Hey, I've got her.
She's out cold.
Come on, I'll put her on the couch.
Yeah. Come on. It's a little late, but somebody ought to mention she is not a bad-looking dish.
You've mentioned it.
Looking for smelling salts in our bag?
No. Identification. Here's a driver's license. Her name is Sally Walters. Address, 49 Arden Drive. Social security card. She's the secretary.
That's what I need. Take it back.
She's coming, too. Better put the bag back.
Yeah, but keep the gun, though. There's still some bullets in it.
No. We don't want her to know we went through her bag.
We're ashamed of ourselves?
We're going to pay her a visit.
She ain't home.
But she will be after she leaves here, and then perhaps we can find out what keeps the home fires burning.
Sally was in kind of a hurry leaving us.
So she was.
Mr. Templer, don't look right, Santa Claus chasing a blonde.
I'm not chasing her.
Technicalities will get you no place. Hey, this must be it. 49. What is she a secretary of? The Treasury?
I suspect this is where she works, Louis.
She works overtime, huh?
Yeah, and probably sleeps in. Come on.
Yeah. I hope that nobody is peeking because they'll think Santa Claus is off schedule.
I think perhaps I can manage without the whiskers.
Yeah.
Ouch!
Now you look like an imposter.
Yeah. Will you ring, Louis?
Okay. You know, this is the type house I got a feeling Santa Claus would have to use the servants entrance.
Yes.
I'm Simon Templer.
You are?
I am.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Mr. Templer, all butlers are like him?
I doubt it. I think he's been practicing.
Haw.
Haw?
Well, good night, then.
I think not.
Would you mind removing your shoe from the door?
I would.
You might at least have shined it.
Humphrey, whoever is it at this time of night?
No one, madam.
Oh, but such an interesting-looking no one. Santa Claus, you've lost your whiskers.
I haven't. They're right here in my pocket.
How nice.
Actually, my name is Simon Templer.
I'm Carla Worth.
This is Louis.
Hi. Oh, I mean...
Hi.
Be kind to the peasants type.
Did you want to see me?
Now that I've seen you, yes.
Well, come in, then.
Thank you.
But, madam...
Humphrey, go away.
Yes, madam.
Humphrey's such a problem sometimes. Shall we? Nice?
Yes. Fire in the fireplace, books on the bookshelves, port in that decanter.
Yes, would you like some?
No, thank you. I just wanted to be sure the accessories were all correct. Someday, maybe I'll find some other wine besides port in the decanter. I dream.
Simon, are you the one who found them?
It's beginning again.
Found what?
My jewels, of course.
Have they been lost?
Simon, they were stolen. You know that, don't you?
Should I?
I've heard of the saint, Simon. I didn't know he was also a Santa Claus.
Oh, it's a fleeting impulse. When were your jewels stolen?
This afternoon. You see, Claude, my husband, that is, bought me them for Christmas.
Santa Claude.
Louis.
Sorry.
We decided to have the party this afternoon. We thought it'd be nice to have a quiet eve, so we did. The jewels were in quite a large box. There were quite a lot of them.
And?
Claude had hired a Santa Claus, but before the party was over, Santa Claus had disappeared. So had the jewels.
Well, there must have been some precautions.
Oh, there were several detectives. But the Santa Claus said he was going out to get some air while the party was on. He never came back. But he didn't have the jewels on him. The box was locked, and it was too large for the detectives not to have noticed.
I see. The name of the man hired to play Santa Claus was, of course,
Fats Borland. And who may you be?
Claude, this is Simon Templer. And Louis.
I know neither of them. Snoops, obviously. Get rid of them.
Claude likes to behave as though he were an emperor on occasion.
The box wasn't found anywhere in the house?
The jewel box, no.
The jewels were insured?
Naturally. It's none of your affair. I shall speak severely to Humphrey. He should never have let you in.
I let them in, darling.
So now he's going to speak severely to her?
We'll go quietly, except... Mr. Worth, what is Fats Boylan's address?
I have no idea. Good night.
Good night, Simon, and I'm sorry.
So am I.
I'll show you out.
Thank you.
Wow, 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 wow.
Pronounced Carla Worth.
Yeah. What do we do now, Santa Claus?
We get into your nice, clean cab and... Hey, wait a minute, Louis. Now we're going to find out what became of Sally.
Simon.
Well, good evening, Sally.
I overheard. Fats' address is 17 Beale Street.
17 Beale.
Yes, I've got to get right back to the house before anybody notices. Goodbye.
An awful short visit.
But long enough.
Now we're going to visit Mr. Boylan?
I think so.
I hope he ain't so handy with a gun as the rest of these characters.
He may be. He may not be.
Now I'm all cheered up.
But there's one thing I'm sure he isn't.
What's that?
Fat.
Quite a change from the Waits dump. Now this is a dump.
Yeah, and Mr. Boylan would seem to be shy.
Mr. Templer, you said something about the one thing he wouldn't be was fat. Why, because he was called Fats?
Not exactly. Louis, I'm worried.
Hey, the door was open.
Yes.
Maybe that means our bird has flown?
Maybe. Come on, let's go in.
Okay. I ain't usually so poetical, but the light's on.
Yes.
And the room looks funny. Looks like a hurricane came to stay for dinner.
And remained for 6 months.
Somebody was looking for a jewel box?
And someone obviously didn't find it. The extent of the search indicates that. Nothing was left untouched.
It's a funny smell in this room, you know. A couple of funny smells.
Yeah. One's perfume and the other...
Gunpowder. Huh?
Gunpowder.
That's why I ain't been looking behind any pieces of furniture.
It really wasn't very far to look, Louis.
Huh?
He's behind the day bed.
Fats?
Fats, Louis.
He ain't doing so good?
He's dead. And Louis...
Yeah?
He wasn't fat.
Mr. Templer?
Yes, Louis?
We're being followed.
Since
we got out of Boylan's place.
Oh, that's interesting. Louis, stop the cab.
That'll make it easier for whoever's following us.
Exactly what I want.
Even on Christmas Eve, this shouldn't happen. Now what?
We get out. Don't look behind you. Start walking.
Here is a nice, lonely street.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is home hanging up stockings. I wouldn't mind hanging up stockings myself. I Who do you think it is?
I think it's our friend Hudson.
Oh, I just lost 5 pounds. You mean the guy that was chasing Sally, who was all ready to shoot us until she made the explosion?
A neat reminder.
Oh, you think he wants our money or our life?
Possibly.
What kind of an answer is that?
In here, quickly.
Here. Mr. Temple, this here alley is full of garbage cans.
It's also dark.
You don't have to see garbage cans to know they're around. Hudson?
Yes. Good evening, Hudson.
What?
Don't turn around. I've got a gun on you.
Hey, I don't like it.
Louis, take Mr. Hudson's gun away from him.
Okay. Got it, Mr. Templer.
Good. Aim it at him.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You can't shoot me with my own gun.
Why not?
That ain't tactful.
What other gun could I shoot you with?
Your own. Hey, you mean you ain't got a... Oh, mister, you are a liar.
And on Christmas Eve, too. Hudson, who hired you to follow Sally and me?
It was my own idea.
Louis, Mr. Hudson isn't being friendly.
He ain't, huh?
He ain't. Therefore...
Hey, now, don't lose your heads, fellas.
We've lost patience with him, Louis.
We have?
Shoot him, Louis. He's beginning to bore me.
He's beginning to... I should shoot him?
Yes.
Fatal? Okay. Except I don't know what my wife and 6 kids are going to say.
You haven't got a wife and 6 kids.
Now, wait a minute, please.
Louis, we're being cruel, prolonging Mr. Hudson's agony. Put him out of it.
Now, wait a minute, I'll...
Who hired you?
Mrs. Worth. Mrs. Carla Worth.
You're quite sure?
Strike me dead. Don't strike me dead. Look, if she didn't, why would I say she did?
You have a point there. But why should she have wanted you to follow Sally?
Well, she had an idea. Her husband and Sally were kind of,
Decorating their own little tree together.
I couldn't put it more tactful.
I see. So if you got enough divorce evidence, Mrs. Worth could hold up her husband for plenty of alimony.
No.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Worth is the babe with the dough. Mr. Worth is a very well-educated bum.
Indeed. It's interesting. Louis, let me have the gun.
Yeah, here.
Wait, I told you the truth.
I'm sure you did.
No. Mr. Templer, that's gratitude?
It's necessity.
Oh.
We need him out of the way for a little while. He's out of the way. Now,
Yeah?
Now we're going to find out who else knew that Fats Boylan was thin.
If we visit it often enough, I might even get accustomed to this joint.
You might also start confusing yourself with Grant. good evening, Humphrey.
I'm sorry the family have retired for the night.
Well, it is late, I know.
I wish to retire myself.
Why, Humphrey, you don't look 65.
Good night, sir.
Aren't you going to ask us in?
No.
Why, Humphrey, I thought you and I were going to sing Christmas carols together.
Let go of me!
Shut the door, Louis.
Okay.
I shall complain.
All right, but not now.
Mr. Templer, I'm going to wear that gun out, hitting people over the head with it.
Well, I couldn't have him warn anyone we're here.
Why, we're going to burgle the joint?
In a way.
Huh?
And a kinder description would be search the place, Louis.
Oh, for what?
Oddly enough, something that can't be seen or touched.
Sounds like a ghost.
Yes, and in a way it is. The ghost of a murderer.
Night before Christmas, all right, but a creature is stirring. A couple of creatures, us.
Yeah, we've covered all the rooms on the other landing. Therefore, the bedroom should be here. And therefore, this should be someone's bedroom. Let's go in.
We're sleepy?
Now, if I can open the door softly enough and look in. Moonlight through the window. Yes. The dressing room. Door beyond would be the bedroom proper.
Proper is not a word we're in any position to throw around.
We'll have to go in to the dressing room. Come on, Louis.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Louis. Inhale.
Mr. Temple, I don't usually take breathing exercises in the middle of the night.
Louis.
All right. I'm inhaling.
Well?
Perfume.
Familiar?
I could learn to love it, but no.
Well, then out we go.
You didn't care for that perfume.
It didn't tell me anything.
What do you want perfume should tell you?
Who killed Fats Boylan?
Another bedroom.
We go in?
Naturally.
For a bachelor, that ain't the word you should have used.
I'm beginning to get worried about this. Supposing somebody screams.
Pull yourself together, Louis.
Okay. After all, like the poet says, strong heart never won fair maiden.
You mean faint heart.
All right, so for dinner, I'll eat dog food.
Now. Another dressing room. Well?
Hey, Mr. Templar.
Yes. The same perfume we noticed. Uh-oh, don't be frightened.
Why, Simon, what are you doing in here?
Louis and I have been testing perfumes.
It's the middle of the night. You're waking me.
I'm sorry. I'm even sorrier about something else.
What's that?
The perfume you use is very distinctive, Sally.
Am I supposed to say thanks?
No. Because the last place Louis and I noticed it was in Fats Boylan's room. Minutes after he'd been killed.
Oh.
Not good, Sally.
You're making all this up, or...
No, this bottle of perfume will be evidence.
But I didn't kill Boylan. You must be joking about that.
I don't think a jury would find it funny. You knew about Boylan stealing the jewels. You must have helped him.
I didn't.
But then you found yourself being trailed by Hudson, who'd been hired by Mrs. Worth. You were afraid he'd discover the connection between you and Boylan. That's why you came to my apartment.
No.
Oh, yes, you hoped I'd throw Hudson off, perhaps frighten him. In the meanwhile, you could get to Boylan, get the jewels from him.
That isn't true.
But when you got to Boylan's place, you found him already dead, and the jewels gone.
I didn't.
It would be much better for you that way.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't be liable to a first-degree murder charge.
But there were detectives here while the party was going on. Boylan couldn't have stolen the jewels. They saw him leave. He didn't have them.
He did have them. He was playing Santa Claus, and he was a thin man. Santa Clauses, as Louis pointed out to me earlier tonight, are fat. Therefore, Boylan entered this house wearing padding underneath his costume. He left it with a large jewel box in place of the padding. That's how he did it, Sally.
You're smart.
You found Boylan. You knew his address. Therefore, you'd hired him in the first place. And therefore, also, a jury would believe you'd killed him unless you tell us who did.
Well, all right. I'll tell you...
Really no need, my dear.
Oh, Claude.
Hey, Mr. Templer, tell him to point the gun someplace else.
Mr. Worth, point that gun someplace else.
I prefer this direction. You were saying, Mr. Templer, about the jewels?
The jewels were insured. Therefore, you, Mr. Worth, arranged to have them stolen.
Indeed.
Indeed. In that way, you could retain the jewels, the insurance money as well, and not worry very much whether or not your wife divorced you. Clever.
Boylan is dead.
How true. You had to see to that, didn't you? Otherwise, he might have blackmailed you for the rest of your life, or for whatever money you got out of the entire crooked deal.
I can see two other deaths. Yours, your friend.
And Sally? You going to kill her, too?
That depends, I should think, on Sally.
Claude, I never knew you intended to kill anyone.
There's no need to play the ingenue quite so strenuously, my dear. You were in on most of it.
But not murder.
I'm afraid Mr. Templer's pessimism is justified. I shall have to include you. But however did you get on to her, Templar?
Her perfume. To be precise, this perfume.
Well, you got him in the eye.
Yeah, I hope this gets him someplace more effective.
Mr. Templar, the trail of unconscious bodies you're leaving behind you tonight, if laid end to end...
Yes, Louis?
...would look terrible.
Simon.
Yes, Carla?
You've been very sweet. Even without your whiskers, you've been sort of a Santa Claus to me. May I?
Oh, with pleasure.
Well, I never knew Santa Claus could kiss like that.
Santa Claus is no saint.
Yes?
Oh. hello, Louis.
Mr. Templer, you better put on your whiskers. You've forgotten all about Mrs. Winterbottom?
Mrs. Winterbottom? Oh, well, the hour is past midnight. The tots have undoubtedly tottered off to bed by now. Louis, you may tell Mrs. Winterbottom...
I know. That the saint ain't no Santa Claus.
Have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime.
The Saint, on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Eve, 1950, on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
You're listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Paul Gallico's story, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," featured on the Radio City Playhouse, and maybe not what you're expecting in this Christmas Day broadcast from 1949, heard on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 66. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the director of Radio City Playhouse, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Fred. Good afternoon, everybody. It seems to us that there are few things more appropriate as a Christmas gift to Radio City Playhouse listeners than a story by the inimitable Paul Gallico. Since 1936, when he first entered the short story field, he has been published regularly by such magazines as the Saturday Evening Post, Collier's, Cosmopolitan, and Esquire, and today we welcome him to Radio City Playhouse. Here, then, with our very best wishes, is our Christmas Day broadcast. Lyle Sudrow as Perry Brown, Bernard Grant as Al Vogel, in 'Twas the Night Before Christmas by Paul Gallico, Attraction 66 on Radio City Playhouse. It is 4 o'clock in the afternoon of Saturday, December the 24th, in the city room of the Daily Blade. Almost everybody has gone home. A couple of office boys are yawning on the call bench. Three rewrite men are pecking away at their typewriters and watching the clock. At the head of the room, Tex Court, the city editor, is talking earnestly into the telephone with a hunted look on his face. Nearer the door, Perry Brown, the Daily Blade's best reporter, is chatting with Al Vogel, his photographer. They're both about to leave for Rusty's party when Perry's telephone rings.
Hello, Perry Brown. Oh, hello, Rusty. Yes, we're just leaving. I'm all cleaned up. The tree come? Good. No, Vogel's sitting on my desk. We'll leave together. Oh, honey, I'm going to trim that tree with diamonds, rubies, and sapphires.
That'll run into dough.
Vogel says that'll run into dough. Huh? Oh, darling, if you play Holy Night, I'll cry. Yes, I will. I get very sentimental about Christmas. Vogel will cry, too, won't you, Al?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll all cry, and it'll be a wonderful party. Oh, now, darling, don't worry about the Christmas tree fires. They won't break out until 9 o'clock, and besides, I'd quit before I'd miss the party. Okay, anything you want me to bring? Just me? Okay. Love you.
Hey, why don't you marry the girl and put her out of her misery?
I'm working on it by this time next year. Come on, Al, let's get out of here.
Right behind you.
Let's go say Merry Christmas to Tex. Come on.
It's a good idea. Come on.
Rusty's as excited about this Christmas party as a 5-year-old kid. It's our first real planned party.
No kidding.
Yes, Mr. Petrus, I understand, and I'm sure we can take care of it by 11 o'clock at number 3 Courtney Tower. You harness to the wagon, yes.
Mrs. Pettensall.
It's all right, Mrs. Pettensall. I'll keep in touch with you. Same to you. Goodbye.
Al and I are just leaving, Tex. Merry Christmas, and try to get up to Rusty's party if you can, will you? What's the matter?
Harry, I meant to let you and Al go, but something unforeseen has come.
No, you promised us the night off.
You did, Tex.
Yes, I know. And you'll get to Rusty's party later. Did you, hear anything of that telephone conversation I just had?
You, mean Mrs. Pettensall?
Tex.
Her nephews have arrived unexpectedly from the West. She wants a Christmas present for us.
Oh, no.
She wishes us to secure a pair of goats for her.
Goats?
Harness to a red wagon.
Oh, you're kidding.
Goats!
Harness to a red wagon.
Is she crazy? Where can you find a couple of goats and a red wagon on Christmas
Eve? Yeah, where can you find a couple of goats?
You mean, where can you find
them? Oh, Tex, no.
It'll be all right if the outfit arrives at 3 Courtney Towers by 11 tonight.
I won't do it. I promised Rusty.
And I promised the wife of our editor and managing director that I'd get her 2 goats.
All right, we quit, don't we, Al?
Absolutely,
we told Rusty nothing would keep us away from her first party.
Listen, Perry, Al, I'm sorry, but I'm on the spot. Do you think I get a kick out of having my reporters used as footmen? Mrs. Pettensall's a bad little girl.
She's
a gadfly sent to try us. I'm sorry, but it's all a part of the screwy business, and she is the wife of our managing director. Now, please, Perry. There's nobody else to send, please.
I can't. Rusty will give me the air.
That she'll understand. She's a newspaper woman.
No, not tonight she isn't. Tonight she's a kid having her first Christmas party.
You'll just be a little late. Here, I'll give you a petty cash slip. Get upstairs and cash it before 5. How much? The sky's the limit.
All right, 1 grand.
I said the sky, not the stratosphere.
You want your stinking goats, don't you? How do I know what I'll run up against? I may have to buy them from the zoo.
Okay. Here. Need any help, call me.
Oh, thank you. And you call Rusty. I haven't got the nerves. She'll think I'm drunk.
All right.
Call her up and say you sent me out to get 2 goats and a red wagon. Oh, boy, she'll love you. Come on, Al.
Maybe we can get the goats quick somehow.
Hey, where are you going first, Perry?
Where would you go to get goats? Brooklyn.
Gee, Perry, it's nice driving over Brooklyn Bridge at night, ain't it?
Yeah. Holy night, silent night, where can I find 2
old bridge looks pretty tonight with all the lights on it and everything.
Yeah. Where, oh, where can I find 2 goats?
Hey, just look at the lights on the water, Perry, and the piers. Yeah. Look, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Perry, look.
Huh?
Hey, that flash of flame down there. Look, will you? Hey, Perry, one of the piers is on fire. Look, will you?
Yeah. Lovely fire. Maybe it'll burn all night. Too bad we can't go.
What do you mean we can't go? You nuts.
My dear Al, consider your position. We're in the service of the rich. We're after goats. We're not reporters. We're lackeys. Mrs. Pettensall would be very, very angry if we went to a fire instead of buying her 2 goats harnessed to a red wagon.
Perry, we gotta look. It's red. Look at the orange and the yellow.
I know.
Like an atomic. Will you look? Maybe I can grab a shot. Slow down, Perry. Please. Maybe I can get a picture from here.
No, Al. We must let nothing turn us from our duty. We're not reporters. We're butlers.
Well, I got it anyway. And maybe that won't be the picture of the year.
And white, and I hope it gives Mrs. Pettensall a bite.
Hey, Perry, will you stop singing?
Huh?
I knew we shipped the gun in 8 bars looking for goats.
Oh, and where else would you look for a goat?
Hey, Perry, look, that taxi. Look, an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Spin an accident. Look, Perry, slow down, please, will you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that woman, she's hurt. Please, Perry, slow down. Let me get a picture, will you?
No, what would Mrs. Pettensall say if she ever found out you went around shooting a camera at people?
I got it.
Stop taking pictures.
You know what? You're lost, that's what. We're lost in Brooklyn and we'll be here for years and years.
We are not lost. If you'd stop taking pictures, you'd see that we're now approaching Cyprus in 283rd, and if our friend the bartender is correct, we're about to get our first goat.
Didn't he have any number?
No. Brown Shack at the corner of Cyprus and 283rd. That must be it over there beside those signboards.
Hey, what is it, a garbage dump? Or is that the goats I smell?
Rudolph, please, be a good goat, will you? Now, come on.
What's he stopping for?
I don't know. Please, Rudolph, we're almost at the car. Now, in a little while, you meet Mrs. Pettensall. You like her.
You can't pull them if they don't want to.
Now, look, Rudolph, I paid $100 for you. Will you please act like $100 goat?
Hey, you're sniffing at something on the ground.
Huh?
Yeah. Hey, Perry, look.
What?
Perry. It's a body.
What?
Yeah. In a sack. Something catches a note on it.
Well, give me your flashlight. Hey, Merry Christmas from the boys.
Wow, I think I know him. Hey, flashlight in his face.
Yeah.
Holy cow, Perry, it's Progard at the Ace office.
Yeah. He had his nose in the poultry racket, didn't he? Merry Christmas from the boys. What a story.
And how?
Well, too bad. We're busy.
Perry, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Business before pleasure. We're still one goat shy. Progower.
Well, let me take a couple of pictures.
Okay, but make it snappy. All right, Rudolph, I'll give you one more chance. Are you or are you not going to get into the car without being kicked? Rudolph, stay in the back seat, will you? Stop kissing me. I'm driving.
Yeah, and you should have stuck to lemonade.
Oh, you should talk. While I think of it, who did you phone in that last tavern?
The office, Tex.
Oh, what's it telling?
Nothing. Nothing at all. He said Rusty had phoned and said you needn't bother coming to the party no matter how early you got through. I just sort of casually mentioned the fire and the Progower mutt.
That'll teach him to send us out after goats.
Where'd that bartender say we should go?
Guy by the name of Constantine Wanakasa.
Huh?
Just a couple of blocks more.
Well, now what's the matter with Rudolph?
I believe he is slightly loaded. He downed a whole can of beer the barkeep gave him.
More likely it's the can. He downed that, too.
Mr. Wanakasa?
Yes?
Well, my friend here and I, curious as it may seem, are seeking to purchase a goat.
Yeah, yes. Goat.
Yeah, goat. Jerry, the bartender at Mike's Tavern, said you had goat.
You make the joke, eh?
No.
Come on, now, we got company. You drink a glass of wine, everything should be all right. Christmas time, everybody should feel okay.
Look, any time but Christmas Eve, it might be a gag. It's dead on the level, brother. I got to get another goat. Now, have you got one?
And we ain't kidding.
This is no funny business.
Honest.
All right. You coming with me.
Yeah. You have got goats, haven't you?
Sure, I got the goats. Paolo and Francesca. Oh. They man and a wife.
Oh.
Nice goats. A good goats. You like a goat, Saint?
Sure. Yeah, we love goats, don't we, Al?
Yeah. Especially on Christmas Eve, we love goats.
Yeah.
It's in here, the shed. There, Paolo and Francesca.
Goats.
Oh, the chain's got them yet.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Buonacasa.
See?
How much for the big one?
Ma che vergogna. I tell you, the name is Paolo and Francesca. This is a husband and a wife. I don't sell a one. You married man. I think you understand,
eh? Oh, forgive me, old man. You're right. I don't know what I was thinking about.
Yeah. They look so pretty. They're in love.
Oh, yeah. Look. Yeah, sure. Look, Mr. Buonacasa, I got a goat outside.
Yes?
Swellest goat you ever saw. Rudolph. Rudolph? He loves everybody.
Crazy about everybody.
Yeah, what about a deal? I buy Paolo and Francesca. You take Rudolph and part swap, huh? Yeah, you can have one swell, loving goat and some cash. Everybody, she's a happy, huh?
I don't want a goat.
No?
No.
What's the matter with having one goat?
What good is one goat except to another goat?
Except... look, Mr. Buonacasa, it's a deal. How much?
But I'm not sure I don't want much to sell now.
$300?
Amici, she's good. Paolo and Francesca, they're yours. Now you come in the house and we have some wine. It's a party. We sing songs. We lift the ceiling.
I knew we shouldn't have stayed at Bonacassa's party so long. I just knew it.
Harry,
please stop, will you?
All right.
If I don't eat soon, I'm going to die. Now, please. We got the goats. We got three goats, in fact. Let's eat and get them up to Mrs. Pettenstall's, huh?
Will you shut up, Rudolph?
You too, Frances. Will you pipe down? Holy smokes, up to our neck and goats. What are we going to do with three goats, Perry?
What are we going to do?
If we don't eat soon, Perry, I'm going to be sick. You know something, Perry? I wouldn't have blamed that wait if he'd have sacked you. Russian caviar in a dump like this. You
can't. One two, one black.
Sal, I'm sleeping. Now, please, do not disturb me. Allow me to sit here with my head in my hands and suffer. Stop nudging me, Al. Will you stop nudging me?
Good evening, all. Mind if I join the party?
Rusty.
Hello, Perry. Don't suppose you'd mind if I sat down?
You're sore.
Not at all. It's been a perfect Christmas Eve.
How'd you find us?
I left a trail a blind man could follow. When I saw your car parked outside with three goats in the back seat, I sort of figured you might be in here.
Oh, don't be sore, Rusty. Don't
sore?
Be sore.
Why should I be sore?
Well, what are you doing away from the party?
There is no party.
Huh?
Can I have some coffee, too?
What do you mean?
I'm working. Everybody's working. There's never been a Christmas like it before. Progauer was murdered. Progauer of the DA's office.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, fancy that.
It also happens that Pier 547 Brooklyn blew up.
Not really.
Perry, why do you drink?
Because they sent me out on Christmas Eve to buy two goats and a red wagon.
Oh. Have you got the wagon?
The wagon. The wagon.
Oh, I haven't got the wagon.
Well, I have. That's one reason I'm here. Tex thought you'd forget.
Where is it?
Outside my car.
Oh, Rusty, you're wonderful.
Am I?
We got one goat too many, Rusty.
Oh, you noticed it too, did you? Isn't Mrs. Pettensall going to be surprised?
What's the matter with them now?
They're frightened.
Now listen, goat, you're out of the elevator. All you gotta do is walk down this nice, quiet hall here, see? That's it. Now just walk slowly down the hall to apartment 3. Yeah, and stop kissing me. Oh, look, Rusty, Rudolph loves me.
It's 10:45. The Pettensalls will be home in 15 minutes.
All right, all right, all right. Vogel, you take Paolo. Rusty, you grab Francesca.
For you, Rudolph.
Whoever answers this door is in for an awful shock.
Wait, Rudolph, Rudolph, he loves me. He's kissing me. Merry Christmas, Rudolph. You're the sweetest little goat in the whole wide world.
Good evening. Good heavens.
Are you the Pettensall's butler?
I am, sir. And might I ask what you are?
Move over. We got goats. You got a bathroom with a sunken tub? Oh, hold still, Rudolph. There, I guess you're clean.
Oh, they both look like fluffy little lambs.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but Rudolph here doesn't deserve a bath after smashing the Pettensall's mirror.
Well, he couldn't help it.
Hmm?
The first time he'd ever seen himself and that mean expression on his face.
All right, hold still, Rudolph. You'll be dry in a minute. That's a boy. Give me another towel, Rusty.
You've used 5 already. Bathroom looks like a nightmare.
That's a boy. Yeah, well, you can't deliver dirty goats to Mrs. Pettensall. Say, he's real cute when he's clean, isn't he?
Hey, what's Vogel doing?
Making a harness out of neckties.
Son, let's get him harnessed to the wagon and get out of here before the Pettensalls arrive.
Yeah. Come on, Rudolph. You look swell. Well, come on, Rusty. Open the door. Oh, hey, this is sure some dump. Oh, how's the harness coming, Al?
I used Mr. Pettensall's neckties. Hey, look at it. Swell, ain't it?
Oh,
Al,
yeah.
Al, it's the nicest harness I've ever seen.
Yeah. Hey, you ever see a tree like that in your whole life?
Never. And I never will. I'll never, ever have a Christmas like other people. Never.
Now let's get them harnessed.
Finished. Red wagon and all.
Yeah.
Huh, don't they look cute?
Paolo and Francesca, man and wife. Makes me want to cry. Oh, what are they doing to the tree?
Looks to me as if they're eating it. A little at a time.
Rudolph!
Good
darn you, anyway, Rudolph.
Oh, Perry, look out. He'll break the other one.
Suffering cats. Hey, hold it.
Here come the petting souls, I bet you.
Oh, what's going on in here? My vase. Oh, both of them. What is the meaning of this? Who are you people? Alan, are these people from the paper?
I believe they are, my dear.
Get out of here. All of you. You hooligans. You're drunk.
I'd like beg your pardon. We're not drunk.
Of course you're drunk. Otherwise, what's the meaning of the third animal?
It is a spare.
A spare? That's supposed to be funny. Will you please leave? Alan, I expect you to deal with these people tomorrow.
Oh, Rusty, I believe Mrs. Pettensall is sore.
Is she? Well, so am I. Mrs. Pettensall, you're all through with Perry Brown now, aren't you?
I don't believe I know
who... Yes, you are. You're through with him. He's drunk and he's dirty, and besides, he's served your purpose. He got you what you wanted. 2 goats and a red wagon on Christmas Eve. No other man in town could have done it tonight, or would have.
Get out of here, you...
You've been using our office and our staff to do your dirty work for the last 5 years.
Where?
Run errands, fetch and carry, fix things for you, play nursemaid to you. Well, that's out as far as we're concerned. And when you replace us, I suggest you go to an employment agency that furnishes trained servants. It'll be nice to know you can call up the office when you need an extra butler. Come on, boys. Come on, Rudolph. Let's get out of here. I can smell something that has nothing to do with goat.
My dear. Good night, Miss McGowan, Mr. Brown, Mr. Vogel. Good night.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Got rid of Al.
Yeah.
Now, if we could only get rid of Rudolph.
I called up the zoo.
Well?
They didn't want a goat.
Oh.
I called up the Metropolitan Museum of Art, too.
What on earth for?
I don't know. I thought maybe because it was Christmas Eve, they might make an exception.
What do we do with him?
Honey, I don't know, but I'm not going to abandon Rudolph on some cold, vacant lot. He's got a right to Christmas, too.
Yeah. Well, where'll we take him?
I don't know. I guess we'll just wander around Brooklyn with him until we die of old age. Yeah. No, don't kiss me when I'm driving, Rudolph. Yeah. He loves me, Rusty.
I know. I do, too.
Yeah. Do you?
Mm-hmm. For heaven's sakes, let's get some coffee. I'm perishing with a cold, Perry. Look, there's a place. Hmm? Come on, stop.
All right. Do you think you love me as much as Rudolph loves me?
I think I do.
Okay, then I'll buy you some coffee. All right, now get Rudolph out on your side.
Can't he stay in the car?
Well, Rudolph's got a right to his Christmas, too. Yeah, boy. Go on, Rudolph. Go with Rusty. That's a fella.
Come on, Rudolph. Good old Rudolph.
Rusty, honey, I just couldn't leave Rudolph without a home on Christmas Eve. It wouldn't be human.
I know. Do you suppose we'll have to keep him forever?
I don't know. Here we are. All right, now. Sit down, Rudolph. Sit down beside us and shut up.
Hey, mister, you can't bring that goat in.
Oh, yes, we can. It's Christmas Eve. Coffee and donuts for 2 and some wheat biscuits for Rudolph. Yeah, just one of the things. No, leave him in the box. That's right, yeah, he'll eat the box and all. He'll be hysterical when he hits the biscuits after all that cardboard.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks. Here, Rudolph, now, don't let me hear a sound out of you.
Boy, I've seen everything, huh? Donuts and coffee coming up.
You unhappy, kid?
Perry, I'm an awful fake. I've loved every minute of it.
No fooling.
I was mad because you wouldn't take me with you.
Oh, it's a lousy racket, but we love it. I guess we're out of it now, though. We haven't got a job, Rusty.
Oh, I think we have. Remember when Mr. Pettensall said goodnight?
Yes.
He winked at me.
No kidding.
He's been wanting to tell her off for years.
Oh, I'll bet.
Perry, can't you remember anything that happened tonight?
Oh, some of it.
Well, you know, there's a bonus waiting for you at the office.
A bonus?
Uh-huh.
What for?
For your work on the Pier 547 explosion.
What?
Vogel took a picture of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. He also took a picture of the death of some Brooklyn alderman's wife in a taxi accident. And a half a dozen of Progauer's bodies.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Vogel phoned the office around 6.
Yeah.
He said if we would go to an address he gave us and look behind some signboards, there'd be something for us.
Uh-huh.
There was. On top of Progauer's body were half a dozen plates and a note from Vogel with the captions on them. They're all over page 1 now.
Well, I'll be good old Vogel. I tried to make an honest flunky out of him, but I guess he's just a newspaper man at heart.
So you see, everything's all right.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Now, if we could only just get rid of Rudolph.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, mister, give me 2 coffees and 2 donuts to go.
Hey. Rusty, look.
What?
That kid.
Yeah.
Hey, Sonny, come here, will you?
Hello, lady.
Hi, Sonny.
Hello, mister.
Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Say, how would you like a goat for Christmas?
Her?
Him.
Honest. You mean, just take him?
Right now. You want him?
Gee, do I? Gosh.
Call him Rudolph.
Gee, thanks, mister. Thanks a lot. Come on, Rudolph.
Well, we've done it, Rusty. We've done it. Rudolph has a home. Darling, Merry Christmas.
Merry.
Hey, cut out that kissing stuff. I run a respectable joint.
You have just heard 'Twas the Night Before Christmas by Paul Gallico, starring Lyle Sudrow as Perry Brown.
The Radio City Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday with their second-to-last broadcast of the series from December 25th, 1949 on NBC. And so closes this hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.